Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the latest edition of Replay, the podcast devoted to women's college basketball and specifically distinguishable games and wins over the last 24 to 48 hours. I'm your host, Coach Phil, coming to you from the Big Apple, New York on this Friday, January 13th, 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time, as I bring you one of two shows, two Replay podcasts today. The first one is going to be devoted specifically, hopefully, to the Auburn Lady Tigers and their big comeback win on the road at Vanderbilt last night as Coach Terry Williams Flournoy and her girls were down 17 points in the third quarter to Stephanie White and the Vanderbilt Lady Commodores and came rallying back methodically, honestly, over the second part of the third quarter and into the fourth quarter, and they pull off the huge, huge road win to go now to 3-1 in the SEC. So a big win for them. And then later today at noon, I'll be coming back to you with Matt Insel, the head coach at Ole Miss, and he himself also had a comeback win, but they were at home. But a big home win against Tennessee, the first time in 28 tries that they upend Tennessee. So a huge program and team win for Matt Insel and the Ole Miss Lady Rebels. So we'll, again, welcome hopefully everybody back at noon to bring in Coach Insel to talk about that win. But with no further delay, let's go out to Auburn, Alabama, and bring in Coach Terry Williams Flournoy. Terry, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I know you got to be good. You know, normally I would say good morning to somebody, but I don't even have to ask if it's a good morning for you after that huge comeback win last night.
Yes, it was. It's actually been a great week altogether. But, yeah, that was definitely a great win last night, great comeback win. Apparently we just like to keep it interesting.
You guys certainly do, because this is the second time this year that you guys have come back from a 17-point deficit to snatch a win from the jaws of defeat. And I got to tell you, Coach, I always try and be candid, but I'm sitting there in the middle of the third quarter, and I'm thinking, oh, man, I'm going to have to reach out to Terry and say, you know what, maybe we'll just try for the next win, the next game, because it was looking real ugly in the middle of the third quarter, down 17, and I didn't even know. I respect you for willingness to come on win or loss. I was like, I don't know, there might not be too much good to talk about with this one.
Well, don't worry, you sound like my brother. He said when I went down 17, he turned it off. I said, well, thanks, boo, appreciate the support.
Well, listen, there's a line behind him, because I did as well. I had about four or five games I was trying to. I had about four or five games I was trying to check in on to keep up with, and I was like, "This one is just I can't bear to watch it right now." And
so this, I felt there was the a same way. I think I sat down and took a seat.
No, you didn't. And by the way, I think I know what spearheaded the comeback, because I think I detected. You know, my father was a detective, so I like to think that I took some of it from him, but. I think I saw you put your hair up in a ponytail, and all of a sudden it seemed like it changed the fortune for you guys. Was that the case?
No, that wasn't me.
Yeah, right.
I might have put somebody
anyway.
Else's hair in a ponytail, but it wasn't mine.
But, you know, obviously getting back to the game, just, you know, honestly, it was a kind of a methodical comeback. You know, in a way, it wasn't one of those things where it was just, you know, this crazy, you know, comeback in the last 5 or 6 minutes of the fourth quarter. It was about midway through the third quarter that you guys kind of started it. And, you know, I have to say, as a former coach, as far as comebacks go, in a way, it was a little bit of a perfect storm because you guys have done it before. So it's not like you certainly, you know, didn't feel like it couldn't be done. And then you also have a team that you obviously press a lot. So that you know, lends itself to a team that could come back and, you know, create some turnovers and, you know, and get some points quickly and change fortune, certainly, of a big deficit. And then you also have a Vanderbilt team that is young, at least with, you know, with half of the players that play for them. And they've had a hard time closing out games so far this year. They've had a lot of close losses and some tough ones. So it seems like a little bit of a perfect storm with a team such as yourself that was capable of the comeback, and then also a Vanderbilt team that has had a tough time closing out games.
Yeah, Bill, you're right. I mean, we've been in those situations before. We do have a veteran team. You know, you've got two seniors and two juniors, you know, and they've played in so many games, you know. So, you know, you call a timeout, you tell them, look at the clock and be like, okay, I mean, what's wrong? Okay, y'all ready to play now? You know, we've been down before. Let's just take it. To, you know, get a stop, we got to score. Get a stop, we got to score. You know, and we kind of just went to that, and I think we went on a 14-4 run. And it was just very slow. It was just like, can we just get a stop? And the next thing you know, we're pressed, we get a stop, we get a score, we get a stop, get a layup, get an and one. And next thing you know, you look at the score, and you're only down by 10, you know. And it's like, okay, here we go. We're good. Let's go. But it does make a difference when you have an older team and a much experienced team. But, you know, honestly, the one that came in and made the run for us was actually a sophomore, Erica Sanders. She just brings the energy and the spunk, you know, to the team. You know, she gets down in that stance, and it's absolutely beautiful. And everybody think, okay, here we go. Nobody's going to get past us now.
You know, I love that you brought up Erica Sanders and that stance. Well, for two reasons, because I'm a huge dance guy. I'm sitting here and I talk to coaches, you know, all throughout the season, and there'll be a handful. I'm like, listen, your girl's got to get in a little bit of a wider stance. You know, I'm just a huge dance guy. I'm a big believer in it. And so when you're right, when you watch her at the top of the key getting that wide stance, I got to tell you, I sit there at the edge of my seat, clapping my hands, and I get hyped just because it gets. And I gotta think it sends a little bit of a message to the rest of the team. I know for me, you know, when I played, when I coached, when I saw a kid at the top of the key setting the tone in a stance like that, for me, it brought a little extra enthusiasm, you know, to possession. So I gotta know if I'm alone in that, or if it's the same for you and your girls when you see someone like her, especially like you said, coming off the bench, bringing that kind of energy in the defense of them.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, she's at the top of the press. She's at the top of our 1-2-2 zone. Like, you try to screen her. She's taking that leg, and she's throwing it over the top. Like, it's just unbelievable. She reminds me of Keith Brown and I was talking the other night. We had Tia McGee that played for us at Georgia, you know, 6'1", 6'2", post players, and her stance was just like that. Like, it's just beautiful. Like you say, you wish you could get everybody in a stance. It's just a certain mentality. And the person that you guard, and they're like, oh, shoot, you know, it's just a different mentality when you get down like that. Like, you're just not going to get past me. You're not going to go past me.
And not to make this about me at all, but, you know, when I first coming back in my cancer journey about 4 years ago, I joined a local Division II team, and we went all the way to the Division II National Championship with a guy who was a mentor for me early in my career. And one of my things with that team was literally to the point where I'm telling you, they wanted to smack me by the end of games. But every possession, every defensive possession, I'm sitting there, stand, you know, trying to get all four or five girls in a stance and that kind of thing. And I got to tell you, this is what kind of sicko junkie I am. A Picasso for me isn't a painting. It's literally seeing five girls on the same team in a stance at one time, because we both know how rare it is, and there's just nothing prettier to me than see wide hands five girls in a wide stance and wide hands. And when you say that it's hard to get, it can't be hard to get. We just got to demand it, demand it, demand it, but there's nothing greater than that. But, you know, you mentioned Erica Sanders, too, and, you know, I wanted to bring up, you know, in this interview that I feel like the one thing that this, you know, that your team, you know, moving forward could really use is some more offensive punch off the bench. And obviously you brought up Erica Sanders coming off, you know, coming off the bench and what she brings, especially what she brought last night and defensively. But I tell you, if you could get at least one girl to bring a little bit more offensive punch, because you certainly are led by Furkan Montgomery and Janiyah McKay on the offensive end, you know, three girls averaging over double figures offensively. And I just think if you could get a little bit more punch offensively over the next couple months and into March, it could really, you know, bring another boost off the bench. Because certainly, as you referenced, you know, Sanders brings that, you know, defensively. But is there a girl that you're either expecting or kind of calling upon to try and bring a little bit more offensive punch off the bench?
Shoot, we won't even go off the bench. Let's just start with two of the starters, okay? If Jessica, if them daggone twins could just give us a little bit more offensively, that would be great, you know. And, you know, Jessica and Jazz, they both play a lot of minutes, and believe me, they're two of the hardest working kids in America. Like, you're just not going to beat them in sprints and working hard. But just an offensive threat, they really have to become, whether it's just an offensive rebound, something. They got to give us a little bit more offensively. So the heck with the bench, let two of my starters give me some offensive output. That would be lovely.
Well, I'm going to throw an amen out to that, because there's no question about that. But I figured while we were talking the bench and certainly getting, you know, some points off the bench always, you know, provides a boost. And, you know, it's always kind of make, you know, you always usually have one or two starters each night that are a little bit off, but if you can get somebody off the bench for sure, that could bring a boost. But no question, I'm glad you said it. I love when coaches, you know, consistently demanding more from players. And certainly Jasmine Jones is kind of like that Dennis Rodman type, that she brings that energy and is just terrific on defense. But like you said, even if it's just, you know, some points as far as off the offensive boards or, you know, getting out and transition or what have you, if she can add a few more points. And then certainly, like you said, what is Jasmine Jones' excuse, Jazz? Come on, Jazzy. Give us a little something more here.
Give us something. Yeah, and you know, honestly, Tiffany Lewis coming off the bench, especially when Brandy isn't hitting shots, Tiffany Lewis is our next shooter coming off the bench. Tiffany's got to come in and knock down some shots. You can't go in and miss a shot also, you know, and I think she can be a better shooter for us. You know, she just got to get in the gym, get a little bit more consistent with her shot, because you can't bring in one shooter that's not shooting well for another shooter. Like, it just, that just does not add up at all.
You know, and then for our audience, if you just quickly join, certainly should know that we're being joined by Coach Terry Williams-Flournoy, the head coach at Auburn, and they had a huge comeback win last night on the road at Vanderbilt. But, Coach, you know, I'm a New Yorker, so I got to always keep it real as much as I can here. But I don't think we can call Tiffany a shooter. I don't think we can call Tiffany a shooter until she gets above this 27% that she's shooting from the three-point line right now. And, you know, again, no hating on you, Tiff, but again, for me, you're not really a shooter until you start making shots. You know, taking shots that aren't exactly making you a shooter. So we got to get her above at least, you know, 33% before I can call her a shooter, Coach.
Well, I ain't going to sit here and disagree with you at all. You know, I'm telling you what she's supposed to be. Okay, we'll put that out there then, okay? That's what she's supposed to be, yes.
Yeah, well, amen to the supposed, but we got to qualify that, because I just don't feel comfortable sitting up here in New York calling shooters that aren't shooters yet. You know what I mean? That kind of thing.
Put it this way, we needed to come off the bench and score then. How about that?
Yeah, amen. Amen to that. But all right, let's get a little bit more focused on last night. But before we do, we got to let the audience know, you know, where you guys stack, you know, in terms of, you know, turnovers. It's certainly one of the calling cards of the program. You're now in your fifth year, and certainly the reputation of a pressing team and also, you know, a team that creates turnovers. But turnovers forced you third in the country, I believe. I saw, again, you know what? I got to tell you, some of these broadcasts, right, they put up stats about, your turnovers, your turnover margin, and your steals, but they don't say if it's in the SEC or the country. So I'm just going to kind of assume it's the country because I'm thinking the SEC isn't a big enough scale for that kind of stat. They'll be giving me that kind of stat in January if it's only the SEC. But anyway, they had turnovers for...
No, it's been in the country. Yeah.
All right, good. That's what I'm talking about. Let's get it to a big scale here. Let's go big game hunting on these stats. But third in turnovers, fourth. Turnover margin, your fifth. And then steals, 12.7, ninth in the country. And how about this for a stat? You've held six teams going until last night to a season-low scoring. That's a pretty good one right there. I like that one.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. And defense is who we are. You know, as you run a program, as you become a head coach, you try to figure out something that can distinguish your team and make you different from everyone else. And that's what I decided to do, you know, a few years back, even when I was at Georgetown. And it was just a way for us just to create some havoc and just make us different. You know, a lot of people say they're a pressing team. No, we're a real pressing team because whenever we can, we will. Off of miss, off of makes, lot, you know, free throws made, free throws missed, sideline, out of bounds. Anytime we're getting in some type of press.
Well, I'm going to continue to be picky with you guys. I'm going to keep, again, being a little detective and a New Yorker and a little ball breaker at times. I'm going to keep looking at possessions that I can find that you guys can probably press a little bit more. So
we will try. There's no doubt about that. You put it out there, and we will do it.
That's it, because you know you're affectionately called Coach Flo down there, but you know I affectionately call you guys the Vultures. So if you're going to live
vultures.
Up to that that's right. So if you're going to live up to that nickname, we got to keep pushing the envelope here, because I know I did see you press, I think, right on a jump ball. So that's when I was like, whoa.
Oh, right on the jump ball. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
We got a little something there. But all right. So listen, we're gonna talk about, and again, like you said, you had a couple of very good wins this week, and you needed them because you guys were kind of going back and forth there a little bit. So this, like you said, this has been you know, a good little last couple games for you guys, and obviously, you know, the SEC is certainly a gauntlet. So to be able to get that huge road win last night, to get out to 3-1 now, it's got to allow you to exhale a little bit, huh, Coach?
It really does. I mean, the SEC is just a tough conference, and winning on the road is even tougher. I mean, just like you saw Ole Miss and Tennessee last night, as good of a team Tennessee is, just going on the road is tough. And right now we're at that stage in the conference where, you know, everybody's just beating up on each other. You know, so when you can get that road win, that's huge. It's absolutely huge in this conference And just like Vandy's been a team that has played extremely well at home, you know, and that was a huge concern for us, you know. Even though they're young, you know, they're very good young. I'll take that youngness, that's for sure. You know, they're a young team, but they feel a comfort zone at home. And we've seen that in a lot of the games that we watched.
Yeah, and including, you know, they gave Duke one of their only couple losses, you know, at home. But, their biggest bugaboos, they've just had, you know, had a hard time closing the deal. They've had been following them closely, and they've had, you know, a volume of close losses. So that's where, again, it was definitely a team that was potentially ripe for a comeback. And, you know, if you could just kind of get it, you know, close, you know, certainly they would, the seeds of doubt would be, you know, kind of creeping in their mind again. And, you know, once again, it proved they just had a hard time making plays and getting enough stops down there, down the stretch. But, you know, you mentioned Ole Miss, and they went and beat Tennessee, who will be your next opponent on the 19th. But how about you guys get a little week off here in the middle of January? And I got to say, I was saying this about UConn and Geno, too, because they had a week off before their last game and the previous one. How does that happen at this point in the season, you know, in the middle of January? How does one get a week off in the middle of January?
You know, everybody gets one of those. It's just a matter of timing and all those lovely folks that do the scheduling, how it seems to work out that way. You know, last year we didn't get one until late in February, so it's just how the schedule goes sometimes. We don't even get to choose it. We just deal with it and keep moving.
Well, let's talk in the minds of coaches. First of all, I know that I would definitely prefer that week off in, like, February or something. You know, you're coming off your winter break. You know what I mean? You only had about a week or two of games, and now you're ready getting that week. And here's the other thing. You guys have now won two in a row. You're kind of getting things rolling. Now you got a week off.
You know what I mean?
And you know what, Bill? I don't really know which way because, you know, this happened to us last year. We were on a roll, and then all of a sudden we had, and it was later in February, we had a week off, and then we came back and lost two in a row. Like, I don't even know if it matters whether it's early or whether it's late. It's almost like, you know, when you're consistently playing and in a rhythm,
yeah.
You want to keep playing, and then all of a sudden you got this long break, and now you got to get them back focused again. So I don't know. I don't know if it makes a difference whether it's early or late. It's just, once again, trying to keep these young ladies focused.
Well, that's the thing. As coaches, we're always paranoid, and now you got to sit there, you know, with it, especially like you said, you're on a little bit of a roll here trying to get a little streak going, and now you get this week off. So as a coach, you have a little, definitely, and then with you guys, as you just mentioned, last year you got that track record of losing a couple after a week, so I'd be paranoid as heck right now. I'm not going to lie to you.
I'm paranoid anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Well, thank you for joining me there, and you mentioned that, you know, to me, last night that you're heading out on the road recruiting today, I believe. So certainly
yes.
We appreciate you squeezing us in this morning before you head out on the road. And if you don't mind, can you give us, I mean, are we going big game, go all the way across the country? Is it the next state? Are you driving? Are you flying? What kind of deal are we doing here?
You know what? I'm actually heading back up to the old D.C. area. Yes, going up to SEAC game tournament. So heading there, get some games in.
All right. Very nice. Very nice. A little see some old friends, hopefully, as well, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, that's the one thing it does. It gives us a chance. All of our coaches will be on the road recruiting
yeah.
this weekend. So it does give us a break, you know, to get out and get some recruiting done because, you know, that's the base of your program. You got to get out and you got to get recruited. You got to keep bringing in the players.
No question. All right, Coach, let's get back to last night's game here for a few minutes. So I got to obviously ask you, one of the things on people's minds is, you know, and again, you were only down about 7 at halftime, so it wasn't like you were down, you know, the full 17, you know, at halftime, but then, which I don't know is good or bad because it obviously points to the first few minutes of the third quarter not going so well. But what was the message, you know, at, if you can recall at all, you know, what was kind of the demeanor, the message, you know, and the conversation at halftime. We'll go with that first. At halftime, do you recall exactly, you know, what the thought process was in the conversation at halftime?
Oh, absolutely. And one of the biggest things at halftime was we had 12 turnovers. Like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, they're not pressing. They're in a 2-3 matchup zone, and we're out here turning the ball over. 12 turnovers. You know, and then our attacks to the basket, like we weren't attacking the basket. We were literally stopping like they had shot blockers, you know, that was really two of the biggest things, to stop turning the ball over and attack the basket, because it just didn't make any sense. Everything else, I mean, it was going to fall in place. But those two things were really the biggest standout.
And, you know, if you speak about the turnovers and you addressing that at halftime, well, it speaks to the control you have over this team, because they didn't have any turnovers in the second half. So if you can sit there and pour upon your team to take care of the ball, and then they literally, I don't think I've even seen that in the half where a team doesn't have any turnovers, especially on the road. So nice job, mate, waving that wand and kind of putting the old clamps down on your kids and saying, listen, enough is
man,
enough.
Man, it's nothing like a threat. Throw a threat out there. It works wonders.
You know what? That just shows you're a native Northeastern type, because, you, hey, man, throw the threat at them. In 2017, we have to always be careful about threats, because, you know, you'll have some parent running into your office the next day.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It was a nice threat, okay? Don't turn the ball over. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen. But, again, you know, just as you said, you know, at halftime, obviously, you know, you're kind of, you know, disgruntled and unhappy with the amount of turnovers. But certainly you gotta admit that's a pretty rare half to go a whole half without a turnover. So obviously that was a huge deal and a catalyst to the comeback.
Right, it was. I mean, because, you know, it's the same thing. It's the reason. I tell them it's the reason why we turn over people. We turn people over to take away possessions. When we're turning the ball over, we're losing our possessions. How are you going to win a game if you keep giving away your possessions? You know, and so they just had to understand. It wasn't like they were even being pressed. Like, you were just fighting your own self. You know, the demons inside of you don't know what to do with the basketball. You know, so just take care of the basketball. And I really thought Katie and Janiyah, you know, once they realized that they could go ahead and attack the basket, they had some nice drives and wide open lanes, you know, to the basket to score. because we couldn't stand out there and just keep shooting. Good God, we're one of the worst shooting teams in the country. The last thing we need to do is stand out there and just keep shooting threes.
All right, we got to get to a couple things off of what you just said. First of all, anytime someone brings up demons, anytime someone brings up demons in a podcast interview, I gotta like that. Yeah, I like throwing in the little demon type of stuff. so that's some good stuff right there. But you brought up, you know, Janiyah McKay, and you know, certainly she was one of the major culprits because she had the three turnovers, and certainly as a point guard, that's, you know, part of her responsibility is to take care of the ball. But then on the flip side, you mentioned the drives to the basket, and I got to tell you, she's really terrific in that aspect. And she was, matter of fact, she can't drive enough for me, because especially if you guys can, yeah, can get, you know, keep up the space, especially if you can keep up the spacing, because she's just really a major threat off the bounce, and she certainly had a, you know, a handful of good drives in the game. But you mentioned the shooting, and God bless you for taking it beyond last night, because the 2-for-17 from the three-point line, and thankfully Brandi Montgomery hit a couple of huge ones in that comeback. But I got to tell you, Coach, anytime you get a road win where you shoot 2-for-17 from three, and honestly 39% from the field and 63% from the free throw line, 14-for-22, and our girl Katie Furking, who I got to say is, especially this year, who's become one of my favorite players. I've gotten to really watch her closely and follow her closely, and the kid's just the epitome of a baller with her overall versatility on both ends, and even her demeanor. I don't think she smiled at all. Has she ever smiled in a game this year, even for 1 second? Because I tell you, she is totally deadpan and locked in, but I absolutely adore that young lady, because I love versatile kids and I love baller types, and she really is that. But God knows, Katie, you killed me at the free throw line at the end of that game, and especially the second half.
Killed you, killed me. I'm like, of all people that we wanted the free throw line, we want Katie. I'm like, oh my God, did she really just miss both of those free throws?
Yeah.
But she's human. Okay, she's human. Okay, but she is the one. If I'm picking somebody at the free throw line, it's her and Brandi. Okay, like, oh my goodness, Katie, make your free throws. But Katie has been unbelievable for us this year. If you look, Bill, she's leading us in every stat, you know, and that's
minutes.
Just how she is. She's just that type of minutes, stats, everything. You know, she played 39 minutes last night, and I was literally scared to take out the game. I didn't want to take out the game. I turned around. I said, do I need to call a timeout? Do you need a breather? Because I was not going to take her out of the game.
You know, Coach Paul, you're quickly becoming one of my favorites across the country, and I don't mean to brown nose you, but it's just, and it's, a lot of it's your personality, but you just alluded to something that I'm having a big problem with the new quarter. Not I love the new quarter system, but some of the coaches across the country, including my guy Gino, who this year with this team needs to call a couple more timeouts, and some of the coaches across the country need to realize, you know, in some of these situations, again, we can't go home with these timeouts. You need to call one or two sometimes to give your team a rest, and I think, you know, it's something that certainly needs to be considered by more coaches across, especially in the new quarter system, because as we remember, in the old system, you would every 4 minutes you would get a media timeout,
right.
And that's not the case anymore in the quarter system. So kids are going longer stretches, and, you know, when we talk about Katie Furking, I'm watching her literally, it was about midway through the fourth, and she did look a little, just from her body language, a little spent, but obviously she's kind of used to working through it. But that's the other thing that I love about this young lady. At, you know, 6'1" or so, she's obviously a thin kid. She's battling against bigger, stronger kids up front, you know, at times defensively and stuff. And to me, again, is the sign of a real baller, a kid that plays a ton of minutes, that just keeps battling, especially if they have bad matchups on one end of the floor. And you know, that young lady just truly is what would seem to be the heart and soul of the team, because, again, she just seems – obviously she's an upperclassman. She seems locked in at all times, and she just gives you everything she's got on both ends of the floor for, obviously, you know, a ton of minutes. And here's the other thing about her. And she, again, she was part of that dreadful shooting, because she was 0-for-5 from three, which certainly is not – you know, she's a better shooter than that. And we mentioned the free throws, but I tell you, she is an absolute load to deal with off the dribble, especially in a forward matchup. And so with that said, Coach Flo, this Coach Bill sitting there watching this game, I'm like, we've got to get a little bit more of an opportunity spacing-wise. So yet let this young lady dictate from the top of the key, because I don't think there are too many forwards out there that can deal with her off the dribble.
No, absolutely. You know, and Katie is. Katie's just an unbelievable player. She's relentless. She works hard. And just like you say, when she steps in those four lines, it's all business, okay? Out of those lines, she's everything else. She's going to get her nails done, going to tan, going to get her hair done. She's all about, you know, taking care of Katie and just having fun. But step in those four lines, it's a whole different Katie that appears. And we do. We try to get the floor spread a little bit because she's a tough matchup. She's a stretch four. It's hard for post players to guard. A lot of people, as of late, have started putting guards on her to guard her, you know, because it's really hard for post players to guard her. But Katie's just a different type of mentality sometimes. Sometimes you have to let the game come to her because she's such a team player. All of a sudden, she's standing out there making passes. And I don't know if you ever seen me. Me and Katie, we have some long conversations like, what are you doing? You need to shoot the ball. I don't know what you're doing. Like, we're literally having a major conversation in the middle of the floor. Okay. Because it's like, Katie, okay, sometimes we just need you to be selfish for the team. Okay. Just do what you need to do and everything else will fall into place. But if you try to run too many things for her, it's like, wait a minute. It's not about me. It's the team. Like, oh, my God, Katie, really?
I got to tell you, Coach Flo, we got to have – somehow by hook or crook, we got to get you on this show, I think, once a week, because your personality is too good not to have you on consistently. And here's the other thing. You know, about a couple of weeks back, you know, I think it was Fox Sports had a wired up. They had the St. John's and Seton Hall coaches wired up throughout the game. We got to get Coach Flo wired up through some of these games. I think women's basketball, honestly, obviously it sounds like, you know, I'm being tongue-in-cheek, but I'm dead serious. I think women's basketball needs more of that to, you know, to help draw in viewers. And so I think it's, now, again, with your Northeast background, I don't know, maybe there might be a couple four-letter words we got to worry about. But my point is,
it'll definitely be censored.
Yeah. We might have to make sure we're on delay for that. But I really think it would be great for women's basketball. And honestly, sincerely, I think, you know, it would be a terrific viewing listening to Coach Flo being mic'd up through a game and hearing some of those conversations, not only with our staff, but also.
It's quite interesting, no doubt. It's definitely interesting. And the SEC Network actually does that a little bit. They will wire some coaches. We'll do some, you know, like the end of the third quarter, stuff like that. They do a lot of that. But it's very interesting to see the insight of it, you know, and just some of the conversations that we're having with it. Because just like you know, you're saying, hey, you know, we need to get Katie the ball and let her spread out. Well, that's what we want to do. Katie got to go get the ball, you know, as well, you know. So it's great to hear some of those conversations between the coaches and the players.
Yeah, no, that's, you know, there's nothing better than all access or behind the scenes type of stuff that. And, you know, again, especially if you have coaches that, you know, that are into it and outgoing and verbal, and you certainly fit that. But, you know, getting to last night's game, and I'll only keep you, you know, another few minutes because, again, certainly we want to be courteous to your schedule. You got to get out to the airport. You got to do all that stuff. And I'm sure you got some other things to do. But I got to tell you, and obviously every coach thinks you get the tough end of the whistle, but two or three of those, you know, block charge calls for sure. Woo, that's talk about road play in conference. And specifically, I'm thinking about a couple. And one specifically was inside of 2 minutes. Now, again, you guys have clawed all the way back. It's pretty much an evening. Matter of fact, you had grabbed a two-point lead. And then their kid, Bill, you know, drives down the left side of the line. And I think it might have been Jones on your team who, you know, took the win.
Yes.
She get there. And they called, you know, the block on you guys, and that was just would have been a huge turnaround there, because obviously, you know, she gets the two free throws, she makes it, ties it up, but, you know, it was a kind of a 4-point swing under 2 minutes, and man, when you really watch it, especially on the replay, she got there, and it's just a real backbreaker not to get that call there.
Yeah, and Bill, that's just such a tough call, and I feel for the refs, because it's a tough call, and I've actually had a few of the refs.
I would get fined if I said
what I really felt about it. But anyway, they do. But I have had a few to come to me and actually say, hey, I'm sorry, Coach, man, I think I might have got that wrong, you know. And I understand that. We all make mistakes, you know. But you know what? hey, I'm going to need you to get it right, okay? Because just like you said, it's crucial times. It's really crucial times that is happening. And that block charge call is huge at times.
Yeah, and we know that's obviously probably their toughest call throughout the course of the game. But I'm a full believer, someone who's, you know, been in coaching a while and all around. But if it's even if it's close, you got to give it to the defense. To me, you know, it's hard enough to play defense nowadays. And, you know, if it's borderline, and she was there, and it's just what a backbreaking call. But thankfully, again, it shows that you have some experience and poise with your team, because to come all the way back to get, you know, the wrong end of that kind of call, it could have really been very unsettling. But it seemed like your kids, you know, regrouped pretty quickly. And I watched their body language right after the call, and led by, again, deadpan Furking, you know, it seemed like they took you know, the lead of her and kind of just moved on to next play. And so, again, terrific job by your kids, because I got to tell you, I was wrangled sitting here at home watching it. Never, you know, that was a tough one for me to swallow. So, again, nice job by your kids to come by, and honestly, by you and your staff there as well. And then there was one earlier in the game for sure, too, where I'm not sure if – I don't think it was Janiyah McKay, actually, but one of your guards and you know, and their post player definitely, you know, kind of slid in late. And the worst part about it is you get the charge called on you, and then pretty much coming back the other way, you know, right after that, their freshman guard gets an N1 with that lefty scoop, kind of right in front of Coach Flo there. And I watched your reaction to that, and they get an N1. So you basically, you had a tough series there about, you know, on those calls. You didn't get either one of them that were pretty much the same kind of call. But, you know, so it's just, as we know, that's life on the road, and that's why coaches always say you got to be, you know, 5 or 10 points better, because a lot of times you're not going to get those borderline calls. But definitely that one under 2 minutes was backbreaking, especially after you come all the way back there. But, Coach, I got to tell you one other thing, you know, play that really stood out to me towards the end of the game was, and I know you'll remember this, with about 44 seconds left, they call timeout. You're up two. There's 16 on the shot clock. And a little sneaky coach, you know, they have a side out of bounds on their end of the floor, and you call, you extend your little zone there to the point where, you know, they had it inbounded into the backcourt, and then you extended it, and they never really got any kind of comfortability. They barely got the shot off, and, you know, kind of banked it off, and you guys got the rebound. But that was a big little kind of tweak there. They called the timeout, obviously trying to draw something up or whatever, and then you guys were able to extend. Not first of all, to force the, you know, the pass into the backcourt and then extend there, and really kind of got them delayed and kind of scurried and rushed, and they got off, you know, a rush three that really was, you know, extremely low percentage. So can you obviously speak to that timeout and then, you know, that little tweak of extending your defense there, which, again, you know, there are a lot of powered coaches out there. Obviously, it's part of what you guys do on a regular basis, extending and kind of getting after people that way. But to do it in that position there, you know, a little bit of a risk-reward for some coaches, but it certainly paid off.
Yeah, and we like to do that. And what we do is we actually go with a bigger lineup. I don't know if you saw it. We took Janiyah McKay out, and we took Katie Zhang in, had Erica in, Jazz in, Katie Furkin and Jess. So we try to go with a bigger lineup. We put Jazz on the ball to take away that angle of that pass towards the basket. So the only thing that they can really see is either right in front or throwing it into the backcourt. You put Erica down in that stance to get in front of that point guard. Don't let that point guard get the ball. The point guard, if she's going to get it, she's going to have to go in the backcourt and go get it. And then once they get in the backcourt, we extend it. We go right back into our press again. You know, and because majority of the time you usually have your play set up, that as the, you know, the coach that called a timeout, you know exactly what you want. You're not thinking about, oh, shoot, what if this kid gets trapped? You know, oh, shoot, what if they get up and press? You know, you really aren't thinking about that. When you're drawing up, you're trying to figure out a way to score, you know, and that's just one of us being a defensive team. We're going to try to take away everything that we can take away. We leave Katie and Jess back a little bit to protect the basket, but our guards go full out, full man to man press, you know, and then we get right back into our press and try to get a trap out of it.
Yeah, and then thankfully,
so
Brandy
the vultures come alive when the time is ticking on that clock.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, and I'm a huge men's guy. I watch, you know, I'm a junkie for the men's side too. And I try and be honest, again, you know, I have a background in the women's game. I love women's basketball, but I still think at times, in general across the country, women's basketball and the coaching is behind the men. And this is one area. because the women's basketball, every coach seems to be calling timeouts in those situations. And what it lends itself is exactly what happened to Vanderbilt, is that, you know, you have the other coach will change things up, will either change defense. They get now a chance to dictate some things to you. And I just think that, you know, more coaches need to be ready to have their kids play that possession out and work on it and practice and stuff, because, you know, as you just said, you know, what was your, you know, your game plan and your perspective during that timeout? This is what they're trying to do. They're trying to draw up a play, you know, and try to score, and they're probably not thinking of this, that, the other thing. And, you know, it just concerns me a little bit that twofold. One, enough coaches don't switch defenses and stuff out of timeouts that kind of, you know, throw a monkey. And I know it's one thing that Gino does consistently and seems to pay off for him, you know, 95% of the time, as most things are these days. But and the other thing, I think that coaches need to be in a position where, and obviously you got to work on it in practice and stuff, but these end-of-game situations, to some degree, if you have to call timeout to try and put in every, you're allowing the other team, obviously, to now dictate and switch things up as well. So I want to get your quick thoughts on just that overall in the dynamic.
Yeah, it's true. You know, and we do time and score situations. We have a little basketball and got all type of scenarios inside the basketball. And we start that as soon as we start practice, you know, picking out of the basketball, you know, down by two, up by two, at the free throw line, out of bounds, all of that. And those are great situations, and I think you have to do them as your team. So now when your team is in a situation, you can say, hey, we've been here before. Hey, and then have the play that you're going to run. We know what we're going to run if we need a two. We know what we're going to run if we need a three. We know what we're going to run if we're taking the ball out of bounds or press offense. You're mentally preparing your team for every situation. So, and the thing is, but if you have an older team and a mature team and a veteran team, you don't have to call that timeout. You worked on it, you know. But to Stephanie's defense, I probably would call a timeout too with a young team, freshman point guard. You just have to, you know, because they just don't know. And even though you might have done it 30 times in practice, I can guarantee you them freshmen on the floor have gone brain dead and don't remember anything that you've worked on every day in practice. So you have to call that timeout to give them that refresher and that reminder. But as I've always said, the one most important thing is you got to get the ball in bounds. You better give them that first before you give them anything else.
Now, there's no question, you know, the great point of Stephanie's situation with her dynamic with the young kid and the young backcourt, for sure. You know, she feels that she's got to get these kids, making sure that, you know, on the same page that she's on. But, again, to me, you know, it's that paranoid aspect of coaches a little bit. I just hate to allow the other coach now a chance, because, and I know the old Dean Smith thing too, it's kind of, you know, when teams are coming back down the floor, they're certainly far less organized and they're not thinking the things that their coach is. So there's no, you know, even when experienced, you know, there's no way your kids were thinking some of the things that you were, you know, were thinking that you were able to go, just like you said, you know, she's able to go over a timeout and get her kids on the same page, same thing you were able to do, and more than anything, able to switch the defenses and stuff. And you see it so much that, you know, any kind of switching, that's because you, again, she's there going over what she wants to do and this, that, you know, and the kids are programmed to think A, B, and C, and then all of a sudden when they say E, F, and G come throwing at them, you know, they get usually flustered, and it just leads to a bad possession. And especially when you're talking that they had a short clock. You know, they only had 16 on the clock, and it's just an ideal situation for you guys. But then, you know, manifesting out of that, you know, Brandi Montgomery made a couple free throws. God bless her, because I know that Katie Perkins at 75%, but I'm telling you, I was like, do not get it in Katie's hands right now, because she's killing me. She's crazy right now.
I feel you on that one, yes.
Yeah, and again, I adore that kid. I just absolutely, she's one of my favorites this year, and can't say enough about what she gives to you guys in so many respects, and especially, you know, with the minutes and everything. But right now, she might be C on the list of who would diagram to get the ball out of the timeout. She's got to earn a couple strikes here before we
I would agree. I would have to agree with you, yes.
But anyway, Coach, you know, again, thank you so much for a leap. Jeez, wow, time did fly with your personality. 45 minutes here, but just wonderful to get you on after a win like that. That's what this kind of podcast and show is all about, being able to get coaches like yourself on after such, you know, big wins like that. And, you know, again, you guys had – now, let's try and talk to the girls a little bit. Now, just because you've done it twice, we don't want to tempt fate too many times here. I mean, you're 17-point
no.
deficit, but, you know, it's taken years off
no,
your life,
no.
Coach Flo.
A few years, absolutely. That's what, like, I just had a birthday, and I think the birthday was plus five. No, we don't want to be down 17 and see what a great, wonderful comeback. No, let's try another way. That would be wonderful.
You know, that's right. That's right. It was your, but just like, you know, in Coach Bill fashion, you know, bring up how it's your birthday. By the way, we're fellow Capricorns. I was the third, so that must explain
Woo-hoo!
Why there's a little bit of, us crazy Capricorns. But congratulations on that birthday. And your kids certainly have made it a good birthday, because the last two games, for sure, they've gotten the job done. And again, I can't stress it enough to the audience. I mean, obviously, it's only the middle of January, but in a conference like the SEC, to now be able to get out to that 3-1 start, and it doesn't seem all that huge, 3-1, but it really is at this point, and especially with a week off and a home game coming up. But to get that road win, I mean, just a huge birthday gift for you to get those last two wins, and specifically last night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I had a great birthday week because, you know, usually I get my butt kicked on my birthday. Last year I thought about changing my birthday to June because I can't get my butt kicked in June. So it's been a great birthday week.
Well,
and just,
you know,
like you said, it's just
wild,
hard getting those wins.
Yeah, as a wily East Coaster like you and being a female, you're already trying to change your age and trying to usually probably trying to shed some years over. So now you're actually trying to change the date too, huh? You're sneaky thing.
Hey, you know, you can do whatever you want to do in this world, okay? I can celebrate my birthday whenever. There's no rules.
Well, don't tell you any different, that's for sure. But Coach Flo, truly always a pleasure. I wish you a safe flight up to the D.C. I know that it'll be a nice trip to you, not only because recruiting is always kind of fun, a nice little change of pace this time of year, and it's a good event, but also you'll get to see some familiar faces and, you know, some friends, some family, that kind of thing. So certainly have a great trip back, and then right back at it. But again, I can't thank you enough. 45 minutes of what seemed like only like 15, because it was such a pleasurable spot, and your personality always shines, you know, in these podcast interviews. So thank you so much, and congratulations again on a wonderful win.
Thank you, and I appreciate you having me on anytime.
Well, I'm going to hold you there. I want to have you on a few more times for the rest of the year, so you got to go
Sounds
snap
correct.
Those wins. All right.
There
Take care,
go.
Harry.
Thank
have a
you.
Good day.
Okay. You too. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. All right, fans. There is Terry Williams, Flournoy, the head coach at Auburn. And I got to tell you, just hard not to root for her, hard not to, you know, to adore her with that personality and candor. Just a wonderful spot with these kinds of interviews. I've had her on here on my podcast before, and she killed those times. She killed it again today. And certainly it doesn't get better than having someone like Coach Flournoy on after a big win like they had last night, 17-point comeback win, down 17 in the third quarter, and come back and get the win on the road at Vanderbilt to again go to 3-1 in the SEC to start the year. And again, congratulations to them, and I'm very thankful to her for 45 minutes the day after. She's going to be flying out here in a couple hours, as she said, to head up to the D.C. for the She Got Game high school event. And so again, thankful to her and thankful for everyone who tuned in today, either live or through the archive version. But again, we're going to look to wrap it up for now. But again, look to join me at noon Eastern time, as I will be joined by Matt Insel, the head coach at Ole Miss, as he is also coming off a big win last night and a little bit of a comeback, not as deep a comeback as Coach Flournoy had with her Lady Tigers there at Auburn, but nevertheless, a huge win over Tennessee, and they had not beaten Tennessee in 28 previous tries, and now get the big win against Holly Wallach's team, and certainly speaks to, you know, how far the program has come and where it's going. So a big win for Coach Insel, and we'll get his thoughts at noon Eastern time. So thankful, everyone. Have a great rest of the day. If you're not going to join us at noon, certainly look for the archive version. Take care, everybody. Coach Bill signing off from New York.